Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Inox Wind Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kumar.
Thank you, Enzo. Good evening. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to thank you for joining us today for the Q2 FY24 earnings call of Inox Wind Limited. Today, we have with us Mr. Devansh Jain, Executive Director, Inox GFL Group; Mr. Kailash Tarachandani, Chief Executive Officer, Inox Wind Limited; and other senior members of the management. Without much delay, I will now hand over the call to the management to start with the opening remarks, and after that, we'll open the call for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Kailash Tarachandani here. A very warm welcome to all to the Q2 FY24 earnings call of Inox Wind Limited. The company announced its Q2 and half-yearly results at its board meeting held on Friday, 27th October. The results, along with the earnings presentation, are available on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. Let me first take you quickly through the financial results for Q2 and H1 of FY24 for the company. Continuing our ongoing financial turnaround trajectory, I'm delighted to announce that we have achieved cash profit in Q2 following its break-even performance at the EBITDA level in Q1 of the current fiscal year. This outstanding performance is noteworthy, especially considering that the second quarter is typically subdued within the industry due to the countrywide impact on the monsoon season. For the quarters on a consolidated basis, Inox Wind has reported revenue of rupees 384.4 crore in Q2 FY24 versus rupees 111.9 crore in Q2 FY23, an increase of 250% year-over-year. EBITDA of rupees 69.7 crore in Q2 FY24 plus EBITDA loss of rupees 18.7 crore in Q2 FY23. Cash PAT of rupees 4.7 crore Q2 FY24 versus loss of rupees 111.6 crore in Q2 FY23. For the half-year ended 30th September, on a consolidated basis, Inox Wind has reported revenue of rupees 729.4 crore in H1 FY24 versus rupees 323.2 crore in H1 FY23. EBITDA of rupees 104.6 crore H1 FY24 versus EBITDA loss of rupees 44.4 crore in H1 FY23. The first half of the current fiscal year has almost matched revenue for financial year 2023. I believe that the major increment in earnings will be reflective in the second half of the current financial year as we fill up our supplies of our 3.3-megawatt turbine and complete the action on the strategic front to achieve a net debt-free status. In terms of policy developments, there have been numerous recent announcements at both the central and state level that will further stimulate investment in the renewable energy sector, with a particular focus on wind energy. Starting from October 2023, the renewable energy policies of Gujarat and Rajasthan have come into effect. Gujarat anticipates attractive investment worth rupees 5 lakh crore in the renewable sector through this policy. Meanwhile, Rajasthan has set a target of generating 15 gigawatts from wind and hybrid resources under the same policy. the case of Gujarat, which boasts an estimated wind potential of 143 gigawatts, the new policy removes any capacity restriction for establishing renewable energy projects for captive use or for selling power to third-party consumers. The earlier policy had imposed a cap at 50% of the contracted demand. The change has significantly expanded opportunities within the commercial and industrial market, leading to an increased number of inquiries from customers looking to establish such capacities. Further, the Power of Minister Power has proposed the implementation of a generation obligation for coal and lignite-fired power plants. The draft proposal mandates that these power plants generate 6 to 10% of their total power output from renewable sources, with the percentage being based on their respective commercial operation dates. Most recently, the ministry introduced guidelines for the uniform green energy tariff. This development is expected to accelerate the signing of power purchase agreements, PPAs, and boost the addition of renewable energy capacity. Under this policy, a single rate will be calculated for each category of central pool energy sources, such as wind, solar, hydro, hybrid, and real-time pricing, on a monthly basis by the implementing agency for distribution companies, that is DISCOMs, for upcoming renewable energy projects. This change will benefit projects involving power buyers from multiple states. I will provide an overview of the recent development at Inox Wind. The past two quarters have been incredibly dynamic for us, showcasing notable progress from both an operational as well as on financial standpoint. In our pursuit of profitability, Inox Wind has achieved cash profit in quarter two, building on our EBITDA positive performance in quarter one of the financial year 2024. I am confident that our financial performance will continue to strengthen in the future, supported by several key factors: the launch of our 3.3 megawatt product supplies, a robust order backlog, clear visibility of order inflows in the near term, a well-capitalized, a resilient balance sheet, efficient cost management, and favorable market conditions. In August 2023, Inox Wind Limited successfully raised approximately rupees 460 crores net of taxes and fees through a promoter stake sale and subsequent capital injection, further fortifying our financial position. I want to express my sincere gratitude to the investors who have shown their trust in the company's growth trajectory. Net order book, representing 1,276 megawatts, provides us with a solid outlook for the future. We have actively participated in various public sector tenders, which are at different stages of awarding. In addition, we are engaged in discussion with numerous IPPs, independent power producers, as well as C&I customers, commercial industrial customers, regarding potential orders. We are carefully managing our undertake with a focus on three key aspects: profitability, reducing supply chain risk, and enhancing our execution capability. On the execution front, we recently completed the commissioning of a 50 megawatt wind farm for NTPC in Jaipur, Gujarat. The execution of the remaining NTPC order is currently in full progress. Our subsidiary, Inox Green, specializing in operation and maintenance, has delivered consistent profit over consecutive quarters. The company's portfolio now stands an impressive over 3.2 gigawatts. It's a cash flow positive business with high EBITDA margin and is well on its way to nearly doubling its wind turbine generator O&M portfolio to 6 gigawatts within the next 3 years. The merger of Inox Wind Energy Limited, the holding company of Inox Wind, which was announced in quarter one, is progressing smoothly, and we anticipate its completion within the current financial year, subject to the necessary regulatory approval. With unwavering support from our promoters, strengthened operations, projected robust cash flows, strategic initiatives, and valuable relationship with all our customers, I am confident that Inox Wind is poised to create significant value for all our stakeholders. With this, I would now like to hand over the floor to Mr. Devansh Jain for his remarks, post which we will take the question and answer.
Thank you, Kailash. warm good evening to all the ladies and gentlemen. I would like to express my heartfelt congratulations to the entire team for consistently delivering two consecutive quarters of impressive performance. The achievement of a cash profit in the second quarter, following several years of losses thanks to the painful transition in the sector, is an immensely encouraging development, and it reflects the company's commitment to meeting the targets outlined in our previous communications. In the past year, we have undertaken a series of strategic initiatives to rightly position Inox Wind so as to be able to capitalize on the significant opportunities that lie ahead of us. We have placed a strong emphasis on reinforcing our balance sheet and working towards achieving a net debt-free status. I am pleased to report that we are well on track to realize our objectives in this regard, hopefully well before the time we have committed. As previously communicated in our investor calls, we have announced the divestment of Nani Virani, a 50 megawatt SPV, which has led to a substantial reduction in Inox Wind's debt load and has effectively made its subsidiary, Inox Green, net debt free. All the essential elements, including our supply chain, manufacturing facilities, financial resources, and the execution capabilities of our dedicated management team, are primed and ready to facilitate the execution of up to 2 gigawatts as we progressively march towards that number over the next few years. Our plans for the 3.3 megawatt turbine supplies remains on schedule, with the commencement expected within the current quarter. These turbines will serve as a cornerstone of our offerings as we enter the next phase of growth, beginning in the second half of this fiscal year. I am confident that Inox Wind's performance will continue to exhibit significant improvements across all the key aspects in the coming quarters. Both the macroeconomic and microeconomic factors appear to be aligned in our favor, and with a promising trajectory in the tendering process, high demand from C&I as well as retail customers, favorable cost economics for wind power, and a range of strategic initiatives that we have diligently undertaken over the past year. These initiatives encompass capital infusion, type certification for our 3.3 megawatt turbine, approval of the merger of IWEL, the holding company, with IWL, simplifying the operating structure, execution of our robust order book, and maintaining a strong balance sheet. IWL is now well positioned to create substantial value for all our stakeholders throughout the fiscal year 2024 and beyond. Before I conclude, I would like to extend my sincere appreciation to all our stakeholders and the analyst community for their engagement with our company and for placing their trust and confidence in the exciting journey that Inox Wind has embarked upon. Your support is instrumental to our continued success. Thank you. We can now open up the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Preet Nagarseth from Wealth Finvisor. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Sir, I wanted to understand how much megawatt of execution was carried out in quarter two?
About 65 megawatts. That's part of our presentation.
Okay. And would we at say be able to execute the remaining 500 that we are anticipating for the full year, the guidance that was shared? Is that on track? Because I think over half, first half, I think the execution was close to 100 plus megawatt, right?
So H1, we've done close to 150 megawatts. Actually, it's 143 megawatts. That's part of our presentation. As you may know, and as we stated in our presentation, we've used Q1 to ramp up. Q2, in spite of being peak monsoon, has been higher than Q1. And I think we are well primed. Every quarter, as we said earlier, should be better than the previous quarter. So I think Q3, Q4 should be fairly large quarters. Also, our 3.3 megawatt supplies kick in from Q3. So I think We've guided for 500, and God willing, we should be on track for that.
Right. Sir, the question that I wanted to better understand is that this year 500, and can we anticipate a much larger execution for next year, given that there is an order book of 1,200 MW that's still pending to be executed?
Well, certainly. I think as the market keeps growing, we will be doing much more. I think what we set out for ourselves was, well, for the past 5 years, we've really been cleaning up inventory, which was stuck on our balance sheet for years, and the sector shut down. We've really been an average 100 MW operation for the past 5 years. So naturally, we're scaling up multiple times, 5x this year. We will be scaling up significantly next year as well. More importantly, our profitability will scale up substantially next year because we are completely moving towards the 3-MW platform. As we've said, the 2-MW are past orders, which we are completing, very select orders because they are not very, very profitable now since we've not upgraded that technology. Our 3-MW is a very, very profitable turbine. Plus, we also mentioned as we become net debt-free, we will certainly ramp up supplies and execution at Inox Wind.
As a percentage of the balance order book, how much of it would be a 3-MW turbine?
Half of it is 3-MW, and about half of it is 2-MW at this point in time. But all incremental bids that we've made and discussions are all for our 3-MW product.
Right. And would you be able to, what's the turnaround time for executing generally that you have? Basically your order to bill ratio, what is that stand at?
No, I think it's not that. I think once you get an order today, because there's such heavy demand in the market, I mean, when we are scaling up, we typically take 6 to 8 months before we start supplies. I mean, we have so many orders at this point in time, but otherwise, manufacturing a turbine would be a one-quarter job. In terms of commissioning, yes, of course, it depends whether your common infrastructure is ready. At Inox Wind, we carry almost 1,800 MW of common infrastructure, which is available for plug and play across Gujarat, across Rajasthan, across the central grid, which I don't think any other player carries, including the central grid. So I think to that extent, our execution turnaround time could be quicker. But we are doing it on a very, very organized manner. It's no longer a Q3, Q4 kind of a setup. Everything is happening on a uniform basis.
Right. So the last question I had is that I think Adani has recently announced a 5.1 MW turbine. What is the competition that you anticipate and the impact of such on the business that we have?
Look, I think the market is too large. I barely think there are any players to fulfill current demand. There are really three or four players at best in the Indian market today. Frankly, I mean, if the market is going to be a 10-GW market in the next 18 to 24 months, I'm just wondering. During our peak days until 17, all of us used to be 600, 800 MW and used to be very profitable. I mean, we need 10 players to do a gigawatt. If you look at the U.S. market, there are about four players who control 80% of the market. Same for Europe. China, of course, you've got 100 players, but I think the top five control about 75% of the market. I think broadly that's happening in India as well. So frankly, whether it's X or Y or Z, I mean, the demand is huge. I don't think there are enough suppliers. Plus, I think we have a very, very strong moat in what we've created, given our turnkey execution capabilities, which primarily one or two players in the Indian market offer. So I don't think we're too worried about any of that.
Thank you so much, sir. Wish you guys all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address the questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Ketan from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, what has been the wind capacity auctions in 1H FY24, and what has been the ordering of wind turbines in the industry and the Inox Wind's share in it?
Yeah, hi. So we have given the details in the presentation as well. So if you move to page number 13 of the slide number 13 of our presentation, you'll find that over the course of this fiscal year, around 1 GW of pure wind projects have been awarded, and around 2.5 GW of hybrid projects. in which at least 40% is either of the two fuels, solar and wind. So around 2 gigawatt plus of wind projects have already been awarded. And the ordering, subsequent ordering of turbines related to these projects are done within 3 to 6 months of the LOA. So that is where we stand currently. And if you look at the overall picture currently, so around 3.5 gigawatt of pure wind projects, the tenders related to that are there in the public domain and will be awarded over the course of the next 2-3 months. And additionally, around 11 gigawatt plus of hybrid and RTC projects are there in the public domain. And we expect more than 7 to 8 gigawatts out of that 11 gigawatt to be awarded within this fiscal year. So overall, we will be somewhere around 8 to 10 gigawatts in terms of wind capacity being awarded over the course of this year.
Any numbers on 1H FY24, how much was the ordering in the industry?
I think we mentioned, right, 1 gigawatt of wind and about 1 gigawatt of hybrid. Now, obviously, that's happened in Q1.
The awarding, the ordering.
It takes 3 to 4 months to get your PPAs and get your financial closure. That's when ordering happens. So I don't think we don't have an exact number or we wouldn't know.
Achha.
I don't think anything significant would have happened until now.
Okay. My next question is, what percentage of your orders will be having cost pass-through clauses or?
You know, I mean, we don't, barring one or two components, we don't tie up, we just have one or two components, steel and forex, which is passed through after a certain period of time. Obviously, we're not going to disclose that on the call. But other than that, all our components which we buy have fixed price contracts. So we don't have any overruns or cost escalations in any of those components.
Okay.
Steel and forex is covered for a year.
Okay. Steel and forex is for a year. Okay. Also, can you, my last question is, can you explain me how your working capital works? Like, is there any retention money clauses or how does a working capital work for an order?
No, we don't have any retention money. I mean, the last 5% is linked to commissioning where we are doing turnkey or in equipment supplies, deemed commissioning after a point in time. And within that period, we get our money. Yes, we have to give a performance bank guarantee for, say, 2.5% or 5%, which is a non-fund-based facility for us. We don't need to block cash margins. I mean, again, we've not had restructuring. We're a very strong financial group. Even from our wind perspective, we're very, very lean on the debt. So it's all non-fund-based bank guarantee of 2.5% to 5%, which we issue to get the last 5 to 7% retention money.
That's right. Okay, yeah, that's it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Deepak Arora from Kiran Investment Firm. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, I just want to ask that
You're not able to understand. Your voice is muffled.
Oh, one second. Hello.
Hello.
Not yet. The voice is not
clear. It's not clear.
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to know, sir, firstly, congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. Secondly, sir, I just want to know whether we can be net debt free by FY24 end.
Thank you. Look, what we stated in Q1 is in the next 12 to 15 months, our aim is to make it a net debt free entity, and I unfortunately cannot give specifics, but I think God willing, we should be a net debt free entity by that time.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Ketan Gandhi from Gandhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Devan. We have sold, downsold our Nani Virani project to, I think, related party. What is the contours of that SPV? Is it a yield-based platform or what is your thought process on that?
Hi, Ketan. Good to hear from you. So, it's been sold to a group. We're creating a new CNI platform within the group. There's a lot of power requirement across companies, across entities in the group. We don't intend to set up any capex heavy investments in any of the operating companies. So that's been done at the promoter level with certain partners. We feel there are significant returns. It's going to be a mix of selling to third parties, selling to people who take 26% in it, and also to all the group entities. But we don't intend to have any capexes going forward in any of our group entities for that.
So basically, it will be given to the group entity. So instead of setting up own captive power plant, they can buy power from this.
It will be given to the group entities. It will be sold to third parties. It will be sold on the exchanges. It's going to be a mix and match of all sorts. But yes, it will also sell to the group companies, because the group companies don't intend to do any capex on power assets.
I think that's a very good move as far as wind is concerned and group company is concerned. Great, great. Congratulations.
Because there's huge saving with zero capex. So
yeah.
As the companies become stronger and stronger, and the whole wind, our entire wind vertical is now turned around, we realize that it makes absolute sense to do this. And we had more than innumerable number of people who wanted to partner us on that business.
Excellent move. Excellent move. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Kishan. Thank
you so much. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Shah, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding net debt. If you can just help me with what is the net debt of the company as on September end? Because as per balance sheet, it appears it is 2450 crores, 2450 crores.
So, hi, if you go through our presentation, page number 26, we have given the net debt breakup, in which our gross debt as on September 23 is 2715 crore, which is appearing in the balance sheet. Out of it, we have a cash and bank balance of broadly 300 old crore rupees. We have a promoter's debt, which is nothing but a 0.01% preference share capital, which is infused by the promoters of 1245 crore rupees. And after, net interest bearing debt as on September 23 is broadly 1172 crore. The detailed breakup has been given on slide 26.
Yes, got it. Thanks. And so, in continuation to this, what is our cost of debt to external borrowings? Because you mentioned in the presentation, we'll be having a 43 crore quarterly run rate going forward, excluding the one-time bank charges. So, 43 into 4 divided by this number comes to around 14.5%.
No. So, Bhavya, again, I think in finance cost, what you also need to include is banking charge, non-fund-based charges. You need to include one-time annual reset charges, and you need to include the LCBC charges for the facilities. From a debt perspective, our weighted average debt cost at this point in time would be close to about 10.5%. 10.5%. The remaining are our non-fund-based charges, BG charges, LC opening charges, annual bank charges.
Okay, understood.
If you look at that number, if you do the math, you're looking at a 170 run rate. And if you do the math on the debt side of it, that would be close to 120 crores. So effectively, you're looking at 50 odd crores of BG charges, LC charges, non-fund-based charges, annual charges. We also expect this to come down substantially for us as we move forward, because historically, banks were charging us 3% plus one-time charges. Interest cost used to be 18. We're now down to on average 10.5%. Obviously, as we become debt-free, all the finance costs go away. But to the extent of the non-fund-based charges, these costs should also come down by at least 30 to 40% as we move forward.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Abhyankar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on working capital, sir. Our inventories and trade receivables seem quite high as compared to our execution currently. So when do we expect this to normalize?
So, if you see our inventory level, as on 31st March inventory and 30th September inventory level are broadly the same. As we have discussed in the past as well, this is, if you see the normalized year, the inventory level will be normalized by the FY24 end. So since this is a quarter year of the ramp up and the operations are getting into the full-fledged, again in a full-fledged way, you are seeing the higher inventory as compared to the revenue. But if you see on an overall normalized year, the inventory level is more or less which we have guided in the public domain.
Understood. And sir, you mentioned about the we've got two good order government orders, Gujarat. So I wanted to understand basically what kind of C&I pipeline have we got? Hello?
No, to be honest, just to reply this, it's not that we are married to any particular C&I customer or anything. The policies are clear in Gujarat, Rajasthan, and many of these people are talking. We are also talking to different PSUs, independent power producers, so as the opportunities comes up. But C&I market is getting bigger and bigger. There's no doubt about this.
And so should we expect margins on C&I orders relatively more than the government orders?
No, I don't think so. I think, to be honest, retail orders are the highest margin orders, followed by PSUs, then C&I, and then IPPs.
Okay.
But dumps in the retail markets are much better than the PSUs.
Yes. I think PSUs give a lot of stability. Retail is always welcome as markets open up. C&I gives better returns to investors because they're selling at a higher tariff than SECI. But I think we've got a good blend and we focused on the right products, PSUs, now retail. We have multiple IPP and C&I platform discussions. AB Energy has a C&I platform in our order book. But frankly, to say that are we married to only IPPs or only PSUs or only C&I, we are supplying across the board. We've got a good mix of retail, PSU, IPPs and C&I.
Understood, sir. So recently, in a newspaper article, we read that government is looking at offshore wind tenders, maybe in the Q4. So any can you just give a brief on that as well?
Look, it's a great, very nice forward-looking statement by the government. But frankly speaking, I don't think, I mean, first they need to take out bids, then they're going to have the seabed auction. You're going to collect data for 4 or 5 years once the seabed comes in. Frankly speaking, most importantly, I think as we saw in the painful transition in the sector, anything which is subsidized, anything which can't stand on its own feet is not scalable. Cost of offshore power, I'm saying cost of energy, not capex, cost of offshore power is more than 2 times the cost of onshore power. India is very, very well endowed on the onshore side. So frankly, unless and until we get to 300, 400, 500 gigawatts of onshore, I don't see offshore becoming anything significant in the Indian landscape.
Understood, sir. Thank you. So I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question, before we go ahead to the next question, ladies and gentlemen, a gentle reminder again, please limit your questions to 1 or 2 per participants. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Great set of numbers. Congratulations for that. Sir, I just wanted to understand one simple thing. How long are we going to take for our merger?
Look. We have already guided on this as well, that within the next 5 to 6 months, you can take it within FY24, that we will be...
Look, I don't think it's in our control. Frankly speaking, I think the ratios are in the public domain. We've got all the banking approvals. We're awaiting the stock exchange approvals. Once we get that, we can file the scheme at NCLT. And what I understand from our lawyers is it takes 4 to 5 months at NCLT to get this approval. So we hope we can get this done within March. But again, I mean, everything's in the public domain. We can't control the routine legal process for this merger. But I hope we are done by year end. Otherwise, maybe a quarter more at best, I suppose.
Got it. Good. So currently, that means that NCLT is the only place that we are there.
We are waiting the BSE NSE approval. Once that comes in, then we can file at NCLT. The scheme is already in the public domain. And then NCLT needs an administrative 4 or 5 months to wrap it up. I mean, we've got all our banking approvals, all the creditor approvals. So frankly, it's really an administrative job if you ask us.
Got it. Sir, and another question. Like, I think then that means that post the merger is happening and numbers will float on a concern level. That means that entirely we will be converting our entire losses into a profit. I hope so, that that will be like FY 25, the complete year will be a profitable year, and we will also be a debt, cash debt net free. Am I right with my assumptions?
But I think if it comes to profitability, I think we have said we've already turned, I mean, cash back level, and I think
now cash back is positive, yes.
Q3 and Q4, I mean, we should be a profitable company within this financial year. Of course, next year should be a very, very profitable year. From a debt perspective, again, I think we did guide in Q1 in 12 to 15 months. We will be net debt free. We hope to be able to do that way before that target.
Okay. Sir, with post the merger, what kind of ROCs numbers that we'll be looking at?
So historically, our ROCE and ROE is broadly in the range of 22, and post, you know, even the merger, after the full-fledged year of FY24, you will see the ROCE or ROE at somewhere around 20% plus levels.
Good. Thanks, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Bharani Vijay Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to understand how with the customer your contract works. For example, if you are getting a 1 megawatt order.
Audible. Can you speak a bit louder?
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I was trying to understand how a typical contract with your customer works. For example, if you have a 1 megawatt order worth 6 crores, is it that 6 crores, like is it all that you get, or some participant asked what is the cost pass-through kind of mechanism that is built in this? What is the price of components escalate in this period? So how is it taken care? How is this contract hedging you from price risk between the time you get the order to the delivery of the order? Okay, so for a year the price is fixed.
Mostly. Okay. Mostly. Depends from contract to contract, but yes.
Okay, so my second question is on some basics on how the cash inflow and your working capital works. Again, taking a 1 megawatt example, let's say after a year you supply, you get 6 crores. For example, so how does from the beginning this cash flow work? Like how much do you give as performance guarantee, or how much do you take as working capital?
I think it's a pretty straightforward thing. When you sell a turbine for 6 crores turnkey and you execute it, you get paid the full money. So it's not that after 1 year what will come, after 2 years what will come. Everything comes. We supply the goods, we get paid. We erect the goods, we get paid. We commission the turbine, we get paid. It's as simple as that. I did mention from a performance perspective, we simply give a 2.5. In retail, we don't give any performance guarantees whatsoever. In larger IPP orders, we give 2.5 to 5% PBGs, which is a non-fund based facility, and we get our last 2.5 to 5% against that.
So essentially, in the beginning, you have to have a non-fund based limit with banks for the tune of 2.5.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I think you obviously need non-fund based facilities, and I think we have adequate non-fund based facilities at the green level.
Okay, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Preet Nagarset from Wealth Fund FinWiser. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of follow-up questions. One is, should I assume that the 2 megawatt platform is going for around 5 crores per megawatt, while the 3.3 megawatt platform will go around 6-7? Is that a fair assumption in my end?
Well, from it depends whether you're talking equipment supply or you're talking turnkey.
So you suggest
well, let's say on a turnkey basis, you typically sell a 2 megawatt turbine at about 6 to 6.5, and you sell a 3 megawatt platform at about 7.5 to 8 crores. That's how you sell a turnkey project.
Right, and the other option that you suggested?
On an equipment supply, you remove about 1.5 crores on either side, which is the EPC cost per megawatt. You remove that, that gives you the equipment supply price on a per megawatt basis. So it will typically be about 5 CR, and this would be close to about 6 CR.
So the blended rate, what should be assumed for the balance of the order that we have?
So look, I think what we said is, as we are moving to our 3 megawatt, for example, the next financial year will all be 3 megawatt. We are not looking at 2 now. It's the new technology, it's the new model. From this financial year perspective, we broadly guided it's going to be a mix of 2 and 3. Obviously, as we bring in 3 and we ramp it up from this quarter. But, you know, it's a blended. This year you should take a blend and next year is all 3.
I meant between turnkey and equipment supply.
I think you should take a blend for the next year. Half equipment, half turnkey. And I think for this year it should possibly be about 70-30, broadly 66-33, 66 turnkey, 33 equipment.
Okay, got it. The other question is again regarding the O&M part. So I'm assuming that you, there is a 2-year free O&M that is given to the customer. So that is carried out by Inox Wind, or will that be carried out by Inox Green?
So basically, this question is pertaining to Inox Green, so we can take it in that call, which is right after this. But for the first 2 years, the services are provided by Inox Green. So we book the revenue in the P&L of Inox Green itself.
Gotcha. I'll take it at that call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Bhandari from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. So you mentioned that inventory is expected to normalize by the end of FY24. So can we expect a similar thing for receivable as well? Because currently the operating cash flow is negative for the first half.
So actually, broadly, yes. What's going to happen is by end of the financial year, you'll have the inventory will reflect the 60-odd days of inventory we carry as well for goods, as well as the 60-odd days of project side inventory which we carry. Because when you see a larger top line, then it will look more meaningful, as opposed to selling 100 megawatts and carrying, 500 crores of common infrastructure inventory on the balance sheet, number one. Number two, on the receivable side, I think, if I may be very candid, you would expect a big chunk of that normalizing, but I would say by Q1, this would be completely normalized, simply because we have a significant ramp-up happening over Q3 and Q4.
Understood. And so there's an 18-odd crore of exceptional item. Any further, matter which is pending, and or this is all done now?
Sorry, just give me a second. Which is the 18 crore?
Yeah, so Akhilesh, this is, kind of advances which we have given to one of our subsidiary companies, and against which we have created a provision of 18 crore in this quarter as well. So this is, now all the provision whatever we need to make has already been taken care of it. And if you see in a console numbers, that number will, this provision doesn't reflect.
Yeah, that's what I just was looking at.
It's a bit one-time cost kicking in. These are accounting entries, but it's neutralizing each other. We don't have incremental provisions kicking in.
There is a within a group company that we have given a certain advance to one of the subsidiary of Inox Wind Limited, against which we have, based upon the accounting principles, we have created a provision, one-time accounting provision. So that which has been got reversed in the consolidated numbers.
Sure. Thank you so much. That's it for my side.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kothari from Grit Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, hi. So I have a couple of questions. One of it is that how do we look into the nature of order being, what kind of order we prefer, whether it's more on the turnkey front or more on the equipment supply, considering, as you have mentioned, we have land bank also with us. Also, just wanted to understand, in these both the categories, do we have any competitive edge or differentiating factor that help us make much bigger order win in the domain?
To be honest, I think both, we are working in all three segments, if you have to ask me. On one side, we are working on turnkey, which is with PSC. The another retail customers there, which is mix of sometimes larger retail on capital side, could be with equipment supply or could be on turnkey as well. And while most of this IPPs today are working more on equipment supply, both have their, you know, pluses and minuses, but we like to believe more where we sort of balance out, as you said, ease of operation, looking at profitability from all those angles from that point of view. If you see, as point of view, turnkey, you have very limited suppliers in India who are doing that turnkey, which we are doing. Fit enough to do that, and we have that kind of pipeline which we can do that. But at the same time, ramping up along with equipment suppliers where independent power producers are taking the risk of developing is also sort of welcome. So we are at present trying to mix it up so that, you know, we have a better ease of execution as well as profitability.
Okay. And sir, one more thing regarding the capacity that we have, when do we expect to come up with have a full capacity utilization? And secondly, any capex plan, ramping up plan or something like that?
Look, I don't think we can tell you when will we get to 2 gigawatts, but I think the only larger picture is I think we're continuously ramping up. Every quarter is better than the previous quarter. I think next year is going to be bigger than this financial year. And if the market really moves towards a 10-gigawatt market, which is looking like very, very clear reality, and the government is walking the talk, I don't think we're too far behind from getting our capacities up to full utilization.
Okay, that's it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Amol Kotak from Tech Pro Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everyone. So I just had one question. This SPV money, which is sold to the promoter company, has that money been received, and what would be the utilization of that?
No, so it's going to take us about 3 to 4 months because there has to be connectivity transfers, and the debt is lying on Inox Green's balance sheet at this point in time. Once we get those approvals over the coming quarter or so, this would get transferred out from the balance sheet.
Okay. So
plus we need, because it being a related party transaction, we've disclosed that in the Inox Green results today, and we've got the board approvals. So we need to carry out an EGM, which will probably take another 30 days. Once we get the EGM approval, then we can officially apply for the connectivity transfer and the bank debt transfer. So I think in the next 3 to 4 months, this transaction should get culminated.
So this entire 300 crores will be coming by March end, kind of?
That's right, yeah.
And then this will be utilized for reducing the debt.
Yes.
Okay. So at the green level, we become cash-rich balance sheet, while at wind, we'll have 300 crores less.
I think what's going to happen is green will become a net debt-free company, of course, cash with accruals, but yes, net debt-free. And I think at the wind level, as Anshuman had taken you through, we are at about 1150 odd crores. The 300 goes away from that, and there are some strategic actions which we may initiate as we move forward. But yes, clearly we are on track and target to achieve our guidance that we want to be net debt free. We said that in Q1 that over the next 12 to 15 months we want to be net debt free. As we've reiterated again, hopefully we should be able to do that before that.
So this 12 to 15 months target of becoming net debt free from today, right? I mean, because earlier we were saying somewhere in June quarter also similar kind of thing.
So we said 12 to 15 months from Q1.
Okay.
So by 12 months would be Q1 of FY24, or if it's 15 months, then it would be Q2 of FY of the next financial year. But I think, you know, as I also mentioned, that's the target. Hopefully we should be able to do it prior to that.
And when you get details of these specific actions, just one related question.
Okay.
When do we get some details on the strategic actions which you are mentioning?
As the board approves, as we decide, we will put that out in the public domain.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next question is from the line of Dhruval Shah from Radiant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. So with 3.3 megawatt wind turbines, so we were about to start the supplies this quarter. Are we on track?
Yes, we are. That's stated in our presentation as well.
Okay, sure.
All right. Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Shweta Dixit from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, good evening, everyone, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question was on the execution side. You said it was 65 megawatt this quarter, but, and 1H it was 143. But if I'm not wrong, it was 66 megawatt in the first quarter. So could you explain,
it's a total of 143 megawatts in H1 is what you can take. That's the number which we have given in our presentation as well.
Okay. The second question was with the 3 megawatt WTG ramping up, what could be the, if we are maintaining our, if you are maintaining the guidance at 500 megawatt execution this year, what could be the split between 2 and 3 megawatt WTGs for the year?
Look, I think it's very hard to give an exact split, but broadly I think it should be a 55-45 kind of a thumb rule for this financial year.
All right. The next question, last question is regarding the promoter debt as per the slide number 26 on the presentation. It says it's 1245 crores. Could you explain, could you just split, tell me the split of this? Because as far as I know, that, was there any movement in promoter debt during the quarter?
So I think if you look at it from a math perspective, broadly we had 650 crores which had been infused initially at 0.01 pref cap from the promoters. And then we have another 500 odd crores which came in from the stake sale in August. So that's about 1150 odd crores. There was another 70-80 which the promoters had given over the past year or, you know, even prior to that. But that's broadly the same. Nothing else has changed.
So broadly, the only movement which has been happening in the promoter debt is towards the 500 crore rupees of block which we have done, and the money has been reinfused back into the company. So that's how this promoter's promoter debt number has been increased up to that extent.
Okay. One last question. Any update on the 500 megawatt LOI from Adani?
When we have any specific update, we'll share that with you.
All right. Thank you. That's it for me, sir.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for the day. I would like to hand over the call over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I would like to thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Thanks everyone for participating on the call. With this, we'll close this call. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you everyone for participating. Thank you so much.
Thank you everybody.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, I conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.